The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Our reading from Romans this weekend is filled with some challenges to understanding what Paul is trying to say. By quoting these last two verses of the reading, I believe we are seeing a core issue for understanding the faith. I think it is absolutely true that the omnipotence and terrifying justice of God is intimidating for those who do not understand the faith, and even for some who do understand it. But the understanding Christian, owing to the Spirit of Christ dwelling in his heart, cannot but call out to God first and above all as his Father. This does not set aside the majesty and omnipotence of God, because we have been adopted. We have been placed in the family of God. This changes everything. The second part of Paul's argument is that he calls a Christian's eternal glorification not a reward, but an inheritance. Please pay attention to this point. This follows logically from the first part of the argument. Let me put it this way. A servant's reward is his pay, but a child's is his inheritance. The Christian, as the child of God, becomes the heir of God his Father and the joint heir with Christ his brother. God does not treat his adoption of us lightly. Adoption into the royal family of God implies more than a new name. With the title, it also gives the right to share in the possessions of the kingdom. And the one possession here singled out and put before us is the glory of Christ, that glory into which he entered as his inheritance after his resurrection and ascension. The fact that being an heir follows being adopted is nothing unusual. Again, this defies all logical explanations. God freely chooses to adopt us through baptism. And in baptism, we die in Christ, and we rise again to a newness of life that makes us part of the family of God. Now I want to turn to a different part of the same reading. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give you life, will give life to your mortal bodies also, through his Spirit that dwells in you. His argument is very simple. But it does require understanding the union we have gained because of baptism, which is adoption, with Christ and in Christ. It is above and different from any other spiritual union known to us in time and space. This existence and character must simply be accepted as one of the mysteries of God revealed in the gospel. But however incomprehensible this mystery may be, without a firm hold on its meaning, no reader can follow St. Paul's argument. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us that confidence of understanding who we are as heirs in Christ and co-heirs with him to the grace of heaven. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption through whom we cry, Abba, Father. I think one of the most difficult points that we have to struggle to comprehend is the miraculous nature of God's transforming gift in adopting us. I think the reason it is so difficult is because we still see ourselves as servants of God rather than children of God. This can be a dangerous thing because if we see ourselves only as servants, it is all too easy to fail the master. But if we are sons and daughters, our failures take on a totally different reality. Parents, you understand this because of the times you have had your children fail to do what was expected. Maybe it was out of ignorance, maybe out of stubbornness, or some other reason. But you did not cease to love your child and try to draw that child into a better understanding of what you want. And I think of the difference between that attitude toward your child and someone who works for you. This might be easier if your child is an adult, but I think you get the point. God has made us his children. This makes his approach to us different than this omnipotent God who is somehow distant. No, Now he is a father who is with us, one who loves us and wants to see us rise above our own failures. This is why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us, to help us understand who we are as members of the family of God. This is why Jesus gave us the sacrament of confession as well. As members of the divine and royal family, we do have some responsibilities. I believe this is why Paul said at the very end of our reading today a line that probably causes some people some trepidation. If only we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. This is a sad reality of our adoption. But our Savior and eldest brother, Jesus, endured more suffering than we can possibly imagine. Our suffering, too, has to do with death. But I think the biggest part of that is dying to sin. Be honest, sometimes sin is fun, until it is over and we realize the tragedies that accompany any and all sin. And we have to die to ourselves again. We have to suffer the humiliation, even if it is only in our own hearts, of having failed our Father. But I say again, he is a loving Father, not just an omnipotent God who stands above us ready to dish out punishment for our failures. But he does expect us to die to sin, to suffer with Christ, so that we will be able to accept the glory that is the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is the last point I want to make today. The glory of God is the Holy Spirit. Today is the Feast of Pentecost, when we recall Jesus fulfilling his promise to send the Holy Spirit to us. If we walk under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we have confidence in our souls that we are adopted children of God, heirs of heaven, and all the promises that are there, even if sometimes we fall and suffer because of sin. So we pray. Holy Spirit, we give you thanks that you have come among us to teach us who we are as children of God. Pour out your blessings on us. Fill us with the gifts that are needed in our day for this church that you support. There is so much confusion on what is truth and what is the best way to present that truth. Make us humble receivers of your truth, that we may declare it boldly for the sake of the glory of God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.